He'd bear me out, your own dear son, Telemachus. Never of my own will, never for any gain, did I perform in your house, singing after the suitors had their feasts. They were too strong, too many. They forced me to come and sing. I had no choice. The inspired Prince Telemachus heard his pleas and quickly said to his father, close beside him, "Stop, don't cut him down, this one's innocent. So is the herald Medon, the one who always tended me in the house when I was little. Spare him too, unless he's dead by now, killed by Philetius or Eumaeus here, or ran into you, rampaging through the halls." The herald pricked up his anxious ears at that. Cautious soul, he cowered, trembling, under a chair, wrapped in an ox-hide freshly stripped to dodge black death. He jumped in a flash from there, threw off the smelly hide, and scuttling up to Telemachus, clutching his knees, the herald begged for life in words that fluttered, "Here I am, dear boy, spare me. Tell your father, flushed with victory, not to kill me with his sword. Enraged as he is with these young lords who bled his palace white and showed you no respect, the reckless fools." Breaking into a smile, the canny Odysseus reassured him, "Courage! The prince has pulled you through, he's saved you now, so you can take it to heart and tell the next man too. Clearly doing good puts doing bad to shame. Now leave the palace. Go and sit outside, out in the courtyard, clear of the slaughter, you and the bard with all his many songs. Wait till I've done some household chores that call for my attention." The two men scurried out of the house at once and crouched at the altar stone of mighty Zeus, glancing left and right, fearing death would strike at any moment. Odysseus scanned his house to see if any man still skulked alive, still hoped to avoid black death. But he found them, one and all, in blood and dust. Great hauls of them down and out, like fish that fishermen drag from the churning grey surf, in looped and coiling nets, and fling ashore on a sweeping hook of beach. Some noble catch heaped on the sand, twitching, lusting for fresh salt sea, but the sun god hammers down and burns their lives out. So the suitors lay in heaps, corpse covering corpse. At last the seasoned fighter turned to his son. "Telemachus, go call the old nurse here. I must tell her all that's on my mind." Telemachus ran to do his father's bidding, shook the women's doors, calling Eurycleia, "Come out now. Up with you, good old woman. You who watch over all the household hands, quick, my father wants you. Needs to have a word." Crisp command that left the old nurse hushed. She spread the doors of the well-constructed hall, slipped out in haste, and the prince led her on. She found Odysseus in the thick of slaughtered corpses, splattered with bloody filth, like a lion that's devoured some ox of the field and lopes home covered with blood, his chest streaked, both jaws glistening, dripping red, a sight to strike terror. So Odysseus looked now, splattered with gore, his thighs, his fighting hands. And she, when she saw the corpses, all the pooling blood, was about to lift a cry of triumph. Here was a great exploit, look! But the soldier held her back and checked her zeal, with warnings winging home. "Rejoice in your heart, old woman. Peace, no cries of triumph now. It's unholy to glory over the bodies of the dead. These men the doom of the gods has brought low, and their own indecent act. They'd no regard for any man on earth, good or bad, who chanced to come their way, and so thanks to their reckless work they met this shameful fate. Quick, report in full on the women in my halls. Who are disloyal to me? Who are guiltless?"
"Surely, child," his fond old nurse replied. "Now here's the truth. 50 women you have inside your house, women we've trained to do their duties well, to card the wool and bear the yoke of service. Some dozen in all went tramping to their shame, thumbing their noses at me, at the queen herself. And Telemachus just now come of age, his mother would never